Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Don't forget all the other things you can do there, including finding out about all of the archives. You can listen to lots and lots of archives and read lots of articles that our guest and our good friend this half hour, Grace Marie Turner, has arranged for us to make available on our website. And she's been with us a long time now on our show. She's an original member of our Brain Trust. She's the president of the Galen Institute and the editor of Empowering Healthcare Consumers. She is one of the world's top experts on healthcare public policy. She's our good friend. Grace Marie, welcome back to the show.
Wonderful to be with you, Jim.
It's good to have you here. Thank you again for being back. Grace Marie, there's a lot of news out there about Social Security. There's a lot of news out there about a lot of different things. But since the passage of the Medicare bill back in December, there hasn't been a lot of news on healthcare, has there? Healthcare policy.
There really hasn't. We have spent the last year, however, educating people about the good things in the Medicare bill. Not only the fact that it brings more choice and competition into the Medicare program, but that it also offers tremendous new opportunities for working Americans to start their own health savings accounts. This was part of the Medicare legislation, and it's really sweeping the country, and it's just catching like wildfire.
Well, it is, and one of the things that happened with the and we hear a lot of bad things on both sides of the aisle. Conservatives and liberals don't like. I think the liberals didn't like it because it was passed by a bunch of Republicans, and the Republicans don't like it because it's pretty expensive. But one of the
crazy.
One of the right. Good things. The thing is, though, Grace Marie, when something passes and neither one of them like it, I actually kind of think that must be a good thing.
Well, I think it is. And I think just looking at the price tag is very narrow. People need to look at the fact that they're short-sighted, that this is the first time for those who believe in competition and markets and consumer choice to have control over the levers of power of this huge $250 billion a year program.
Right.
And to really begin to make fundamental structural change. And you're not going to do that without a new bill. And, you know, if the Republicans hadn't passed a $400 billion over 10-year Medicare drug benefit, the Democrats would have passed an even more expensive one. Mm. So everybody that's complaining that either it doesn't cover enough or it's too expensive, it would have been, in my opinion, a much worse bill. It would not have had the free market opportunities, and it would have been more expensive later on. And we wouldn't have gotten our health savings accounts
right.
out of it.
Well, and the HSAs are an improvement over MSAs. Health savings accounts are an improvement over medical savings accounts. And tell us why, because the HSAs actually allow the employer to participate, doesn't it?
Well, employer, employee, or both. It's really remarkably flexible legislation. Health savings accounts are a way for people to begin to rearrange the way they are spending their health care dollars. They can put part of it into essentially a savings account. It's tax-free, works like an IRA. The money goes in tax-free. Mm-hmm. The inside buildup is tax-free, and the money stays tax-free as long as people spend it on health care. There's nothing like that anywhere else in the entire tax code.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very tax-favored. The only catch is that you have to buy a high-deductible health insurance policy
right.
in order to open one of these accounts. So it really has two parts. The health savings account is the tax-favored savings mechanism. And in order to do that, you have to buy a high-deductible policy. High-deductible policies are generally less expensive than a $250 or $500 policy.
Exactly. And see, what this offers is both the stick and the carrot. The carrot is the opportunity to build up another savings account for yourself that if you don't – and I think, Grace Marie, when you retire, you can use that money kind of as you want, can't you?
You can. You have to pay, just like an IRA, a 10% penalty,
right,
plus pay taxes on it if you take it out before you're 65.
But after 65...
You have a lot more things that you can spend on.
A lot more
on,
things you can do.
And
that's
all you do is just pay regular taxes on it.
That's the carrot. The stick is that all you got to do is become a smarter healthcare consumer. And see, that's
right.
That's what we've become. We've become, over the last 60 years, we've become a nation of willy-nilly healthcare consumers. Every time we get the sniffles, we run to the doctor and we spend money on health care when maybe we didn't need to. And
right.
And when we come back after these messages, I want to tell Grace Marie something that you folks know, and that is that we've been, every month or so, we've been talking about companies, we've been introducing you to companies that are doing a better job of managing their own health care with their employees, and they've been saving money. We're going to get Grace Marie to talk to us about that right after these messages. It's 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Here's Robert Cray to take us out.
Baby, happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind. Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Grace Marie Turner is our guest. And ladies and gentlemen, this is mine and Grace Marie's 7th anniversary together on the air. Grace Marie, happy anniversary, baby.
Isn't that great? We've been doing this program together for 7 years, and how much change there has been. And both of us actually have been, started the Galen Institute about 7 years ago. So that's a really wonderful anniversary. Happy anniversary, Jim.
Thank you. You too. And actually, it's been so long that you actually had a name change, didn't you?
I did. I got married in that time. Both of us have gotten married in that time.
That's right. That's right. Well, happy anniversary. I'll tell you, folks, it's one of the best relationships that I've made since I've been on doing this show. Grace Marie Turner is absolutely top shelf. And I don't have to tell you. You know who she is. She's a quality individual and a true professional. Grace Marie, let's talk about being what the Medicare bill did. Partially, what it did was it helped get the ball rolling in the direction of consumers contributing to solving the healthcare crisis, partially because we started taking some of the responsibility ourselves with regard to the opportunity with HSAs, health savings accounts. And we decided to become a little bit self-insured. I actually have an HSA. And that means that I'm taking some responsibility for my own health care. I'm not expecting a company to completely, you know, solve all my health care problems. I'm becoming a little bit self-insured, and I'm going to get the benefit from that if I stay healthy. But it also makes me a smarter health care consumer. And we're going to have to do all of those things, aren't we, including and plus market competition.
That's absolutely right. And there are a lot of new opportunities that are going to come out there as a result of people being smarter shoppers for their health care. There's a new company called Minute Clinic that started in a couple of states that operates out of Target. And it's a little clinic operated by doctors, but with a nurse there that will do tests for ear infections and the flu and bladder infections and strep throat, poison ivy, a list of about, I don't know, a dozen or so things. Prices are posted, $35, $40. They promise in and out in 15 minutes. That
wow.
We're going to see you, we're going to do the test, and we're going to tell you either you need to go see a specialist, or here's a prescription, and by the way, the pharmacy is 10 steps away. It is very consumer-friendly, and that's, we need options. People are smart mm-hmm. about what there was wrong with them, and they need to see a doctor, they need to, or a nurse, and they need to get the medicines they need to take care of it. But we don't need to have this paternalistic system in which somebody is looking over your shoulder for every single dollar you spend.
Well, the 21st century is a century when Americans, I believe, are already starting to say, you know what, I don't need to be adopted. I can take care of myself. We're doing it in our small businesses. It's the century of the entrepreneur, Grace Marie. I've been saying this since 1999,
right.
And I think that includes our health care.
is part of the ownership society, that all these paternalistic systems, whether or not it's Medicare, our employment-based health insurance, whether or not it's Social Security, all of them need to move power and control back to the individual to reshape the marketplace around their needs and desires, not corporate or government bureaucracies.
And, you know, Grace Marie, recently my audience knows that we've been, about once a month or so, we've been interviewing some people that the principal group, an insurance company, has been bringing to us. It's a group of people they call, some companies they call the 10 best. And these are people, these are companies that have initiated some pretty interesting ways of holding their health care down. The last one that was on the show actually held their health care cost increases over the last 4 years down to between 3% and 4% when everybody else is paying 11%, 12%, and 13% increases a year.
And the reason they're able to do that is because I'm sure they're engaging their employees as partners in managing health care costs, and that means giving them an incentive to save money so that if they save money and decide to call a nurse hotline in the middle of the night instead of going to the emergency room, then that money, that savings, at least partially, needs to accrue to the employee.
And what they, one of the things that one of the companies did was they converted their smoking room into an exercise room.
It's great.
Isn't that great?
That's so great.
And other companies are incenting people to stop smoking.
And a lot of companies are doing is saying, if you'll join this wellness program, if you'll stop smoking, if you will do a health assessment, we'll put a certain number of dollars into your health savings account, and that money becomes yours. And the employees then start to see, gee, you know, that first $750,000 that I'm spending on health care is coming out of my account.
Right.
And people watch that a lot more carefully, and they are less likely to spend $750.
They become a little bit self-insured. Sure,
going
and they
to the
start
emergency
become,
room, yeah, when they don't need to,
and they start becoming a little better healthcare consumer. Grace Marie, give us your website, please.
It's Galen.org, and I really welcome people. We've got a piece on there that'll explain health savings accounts. Mm-hmm. And if people are interested, they should ask their insurance broker about them. There's an online broker called ehealthinsurance.com, in which they can really easily get a quote about on health savings accounts.
We learned a lot about HSAs from that website.
It's a really great website.
So give it to us again.
It's ehealthinsurance.com. It's a commercial online broker. I don't have any. They don't give me money or anything, but they're just a great way to find HSAs and whether or not they're the right thing for you.
Grace Marie, stand by. Folks, when we come back, we're going to change the subject a little bit. I'm going to find out what Grace Marie thinks about minimum wage, because that's a topic for this week that we all needed to be discussing. It's Tim Till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Grace Marie Turner is our guest. She's the president of the Galen Institute. I encourage you to go to Galen, G-A-L-E-N.org, and find out more about how you can gain a little more control over your own healthcare, your own healthcare situation, and including finding out more about HSAs. Her book is called Empowering Healthcare Consumers and through Tax Reform. And you can get that online. They can actually download that from your website for free, can't they?
The whole book, absolutely.
On PDF.
So how we need to restructure our health system.
Right. Grace Marie, let's thank you for letting me change the subject a little bit to talk about minimum wage. It's come to my attention that this week the Senate is going to take up how much to raise minimum wage. It sounds to me like the Democrats want it badly and the Republicans are going to let them have it. And it's very troubling to me. And Grace Marie, I think people should earn their raises. I don't think the government should be deciding how much people should be paid. I don't think that I'm a small business owner, and I don't think the government should be telling me how much I should pay my employees.
That's exactly right. And the thing that people most need to get their foot on the ladder is that first job to prove themselves, to show they can do a good job. And if the government sets the price so high that small businesses can't afford to hire that marginal, that extra employee, it's going to mean that fewer people that are able to get into the workforce. And yes, it's expensive to live, but the company and the individual need to be able to negotiate what that price is that the company can afford to pay and the employee is willing to accept, rather than have the government get involved and very likely kill a lot of those marginal jobs and harm the ability of businesses to be able to continue to grow and expand.
Well, I think it's going to hurt a lot of college jobs. And, you know, Grace Marie, when the government says that they need to raise minimum wage, what they're basically saying to people is, you're not good enough to earn your own raise. We have to help you. In my opinion, that's what they're saying.
That's absolutely right. But it's even not just the raise. It's saying, can that person even be hired in the first place?
Right.
You know, you think of a shopkeeper who is running a grocery store, really would like to hire somebody to help him clean up either in the morning or at night. But he's absolutely as close to the margin as he can be.
Maybe all he needs is a high school student to help him out.
Exactly. And can he afford to hire that person? Can that person go to work for $5? And I think the minimum wage is somewhere between $5 and $6 right
now. It's $5.15.
And that's not a bad wage for somebody who's wanting a second job, wanting a job after school, wanting a job before school, to be able to begin to get some skills, understand how the workplace works, and begin to move from there. They're harming the entry-level people who most need that job by saying that you cannot have that job unless you're being paid at a higher level. I think you indicated that they're thinking of moving it up to $7 an hour.
Over $7 an hour.
A huge
let me tell
hit.
You. Let me tell you a quick story. There's we have a college student working for us part-time. When she started to work for us, she had some skills. We paid her more than minimum wage because she came to us with some skills. In the meantime, she's earned raises and has taken on more responsibility and raises commensurate with it, with that responsibility. But the minimum wage, if minimum wage is passed based on what the Democrats want, and let's say that that's about what she's making right now, how's she going to feel about the money? Right now she thinks she's proud of herself because she's earned this raise. If the government raises it, or maybe they raise it above what she's making, how's she going to feel about that?
That's exactly right. She's going to feel that she didn't really earn it, that the government mandated.
Was going to give it to her anyway. What, you know, and I don't know. I'm folks, here, let me give you a website. I mean, a phone number. If you agree with me, or if you don't agree with me, that's fine. Here's a number to call, 202-224-3121. That's the Senate switchboard. You can go to that number and find and be connected to your senator. And that's 202-224-3121. If you care one way or the other, and I'll let you decide, call that number and tell your senator how you feel about it, because it's going to be voted on, if not today, this week. Grace Marie Turner, thank you for being here. Thanks for letting me talk about that before you left.
It's wonderful to talk with you, Jim. Thanks so much for all you do to preserve the rights of freedom and small businesses to move this country forward.
Thank you, Grace Marie. Happy anniversary.
Thank you. Happy anniversary to you.
We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye, Jim.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.